Translations and Purpose from His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O my Lord, Lord of the demigods, after hearing the prophecy that you would take birth in our home and kill him, this uncivilized Kamsa killed so many of your elder brothers. As soon as he hears from his lieutenants that you have appeared, he will immediately come with his weapons to kill you. Purport. Kamsa has here been described as asabhya, meaning uncivilized or most heinous, because he killed the many children of his sister. When he heard the prophecy that he will be killed by her eighth son, this uncivilized man, Kamsa, was immediately ready to kill his innocent sisters on the occasion of her marriage. An uncivilized man can do anything for the satisfaction of his senses. He can kill children, he can kill cows, he can kill brahmanas, he can kill old men. He has no mercy for anyone. According to the Vedic civilization, cows, women, children, old men, and brahmanas should be excused if they are at fault. But asuras, uncivilized men, do not care about that. At the present moment, the killing of cows and the killing of children is going on unrestrictedly, and therefore this civilization is not at all human, and those who are conducting this condemned civilization are uncivilized asuras. Such uncivilized men are not in favor of the Krishna consciousness movement. As public officials, they declare without hesitation that the chanting of the Hare Krishna movement is a nuisance. Although Bhagavad Gita clearly says, Satatam Kirtayam Mam Yasantas Chadri Dhya Vrata. According to this verse, it is the duty of the Mahatmas to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and try to spread it all over the world to the best of their ability. Unfortunately, society is in such an uncivilized state that there are so-called Mahatmas who are prepared to kill cows and children and stop the Hare Krishna movement. Such uncivilized activities were actually demonstrated in opposition to the Hare Krishna movement's Bombay center, Hare Krishna land. As Kamsa was not expected to kill the beautiful child of Devaki and Vasudev, the uncivilized society, although unhappy about the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement, cannot be expected to stop it. Yet we must face many difficulties in many different ways. Although Krishna cannot be killed, Vasudev, as the father of Krishna, was trembling because in affection he thought that Kamsa would immediately come and kill his son. Similarly, although the Krishna consciousness movement and Krishna are not different and no asura can check it, we are afraid that at any moment the asura can stop this movement in any part of the world. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Chinamini. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivisesha Sunyavadi Paskatari Satay. So anyone who is a little bit in touch with the material world out there, by hearing the news or in any particular kind, now especially in Europe, we hear the consequences of world politics, what means that all the people are leaving their land and coming to take refuge in Europe. I'm sure some of you have heard of this. Who has heard of this? That's all. So I think what Prabhupada also is telling us here is that even though the devotees are living in a secluded and sheltered place, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every morning, serving Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, still it is also our duty to understand what's happening in this world out there. Because only if we actually understand what is happening today, every minute of the day, we can understand what Bhagavatam is telling us and actually develop the motivation that we need to actually push on this movement. Not just for our own sake and our own protection and our own Krishna conscious sense gratification, because it feels good and we are protected and we have a regulated life and we have nice prasadam and nice deities and all these things. Of course, it's very nice. This is what Krishna is giving us as a gift for leaving this material world out there and taking to Krishna consciousness and giving up material sense gratification. But we have to be careful not to fall in another kind of sense gratification, which is just to use Krishna consciousness for our own sense gratification and forget that actually the world out there today is just as bad as the time of the Bhagavatam is telling us, where Kamsa wanted to actually kill Krishna himself. And Srila Prabhupada is saying here very clearly that actually the Asuras who are in the political world nowadays, they are actually, why do they want to stop us? Because if they don't, they know by heart, in their heart, that we are doing the right thing. So if they would agree and confirm or agree that we are right, then this means that they would have to take to it also. And in order to take to it also, they will have to change all their political opinions, all to change all their lives, change the economy around, change their whole life philosophy around. But this is, I used to say, like when a car drives, you know, when you come to a crossing, another car comes, you want to brake, the car doesn't stop immediately. It takes quite a few meters, depending on how fast you're driving, for the car to stop and actually make a stop and avoid a crash and maybe turn around or step back. So the dynamics of this material world is incredible dynamic. And really, it is very, very, very difficult to stop, because the dynamics are just driving, just like a car on a very high speed. And even if you see a danger ahead and you brake, it still takes you time before the car will stop. And Prabhupada takes the example of a fan. If you unplug it, it still takes time for the fan to stop turning, even though the electricity is not there anymore. And in order to stop this incredible demoniac mechanism that is happening all over the world, it will take a big, big, big effort on our part to actually save a few that are prepared to hear, that are actually understanding. And a few are out there. And they think that by preaching peace and preaching being vegan or vegetarian or so, they're going to stop. Of course, they contribute to all this. But we all understand, we all know, even those people, they are looking for another type of sense gratification. Actually, a sense gratification that is going to make less harm to the environment, less harm to earth, less harm to the air. Why? Because so they can enjoy longer. Because the consequences of their enjoyment will not be as bad as what's happening now. But their motivation is still the same, enjoying this material life and giving the opportunity for their children to enjoy material life nicely. That's why they are trying to work for environment and all these things. But they are working for the wrong motivations still. Their motivation is sense enjoyment, sense gratification. They haven't understood. It's still their own interest that they are following. So there's not much difference. It looks maybe less violent than what's happening in some cases, but still, it doesn't make any difference, because the motivation is the same, sense enjoyment for oneself and one family and one loved one's friends and all that. So these people actually, unless they hear from the devotees, they have been given books and they hear from us, they are not going to be able to change their hearts either. It's easier maybe to change them because they're less violent, but still, sense enjoyment is so enrooted even if we look at ourselves after so many years of Krishna consciousness, you know, none of us can really say that we are free of self-interest and self, you know, the habit of enjoying the oneself. So it is a very, very, very difficult, and only by Krishna's grace can we actually, Krishna is the one who is actually giving us the blessings to, even despite of our own interest, our own desire for sense enjoyment, to actually show us the way how we can put this desire of sense enjoyment in his service. It's going to be very difficult to simply remove it. Actually, over years, for myself, I have understood it's not when a new devotee comes, we have to mash him down to kill his false ego. False ego is actually never going to be killed because it's part of us. Krishna gave us. This is an element. This is ourself. But it's false. Why? Because we put it in the false direction. We use this ego that we have for ourselves instead of using that very ego for Krishna. So we only have to change the perspective from me or others and my friends, my relations and all this to Krishna and his devotees and everything. So that's all. We don't need to put anybody down, to finish him up until he is so humble that he can hardly even look up or chant properly or think properly or anything because he's so wiped out from being finished. This is not, Krishna doesn't want to face zombies. He's not interested in zombies. He is interested in full-fledged persons who are self-realized, who stand for themselves with all their senses, all their ego, all that they have that Krishna has given them. But we have to understand that the person that we are addressing is not me or my relations, but it's him and his devotees and his service, his pure devotee. So it's just a change of direction. Again, if we take the example of the car, it's a change of direction. It's like, oh my gosh, I've taken the wrong turn. So now what do I do to come back on track? So it's not that you throw away your car because you took the wrong turn. No, you use the car to go in the right track. So this is what we're asked to do. And this is very important to understand because otherwise none of us at the end are going to be really self-realized. We might look like perfect devotees who are walking, there's a German word. I'm sorry, I'm not English speaking, so some words I'm missing. It's not that we are walking, you know, along the walls with the head, the eyes on the floor, and acting like we are completely humble and all these. This is not what is asked of us. Our humbleness comes that we are prepared to give everything to Krishna, that we understand that we are not this body, and Krishna is God, and I am a servant of God. I'm a spiritual soul and a servant of God. And to understand this, and then every day use our activities in our life in the service of Krishna. This is real humbleness, not just to walk down with the eyes on the floor or cover the head or whatever. Of course, it's nice because it's part of our etiquette and all this. But this is really to be able to be prepared to give up all our self for Krishna. And Krishna wants the little thing that we are hiding. Many things we can give, but many things we're hiding, we're keeping from him. But he wants that very thing. He says, okay, you're giving me so much. Fine, that's nice. But this little thing over there that you're keeping for yourself, I want it too. And this is what is important. Because at the end, this is where we're going to be hooked at the end by this little thing that we're simply refusing to surrender. So, here, for example, it says that at that time, Kamsa, for his own sense gratification, he was prepared to kill even his sister who was just getting married. He was prepared to kill her. Prabhupada says the demons, they don't care. They kill They kill the animals, they kill the human beings, they kill women, they kill children, the cows, the brahmanas, everybody who is reminding us of proper behavior, etiquette, of the that life does not belong to us, life belongs to God, God is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone, everything that is going to give them a bad conscience, because they do have a conscience and their conscience is reminding them you're doing something wrong, they're going to kill all this. It's just sometimes when you watch children play in the garden, as soon as if they are not properly educated in Krishna consciousness, what do? As soon as they see something moving, they put their foot on it. It's like a reflex, because the parents are not training them properly to understand this is life. This belongs to Krishna. They have the right to live just like you and me. You can't just go there and kill them. But when you observe children out there, if the parents are not attentive to care of their children, let them just play, maybe because they are in the temple chanting Hare Krishna, in the meantime, the kids are going wild. And that's not proper either. Because the child, as I said, sees something moving, poof, the reaction is put your foot on it, kill it. So this is not good. And even us, because we are coming, we know that we're coming from other kind of backgrounds. We are not coming from pure devotees' parents or things that maybe some of you are, but not most of us are not. So we do have in our heart a lot of things in there that the first reaction is finish it, kill it, do something to it, stop it. And we have to discover this within our heart and let it come out, look at it, and agree that there's a lot of impurities in our heart, and all this to just give it up and give it to Krishna and do everything that is necessary for devotees to feel good in Krishna consciousness, to cooperate with one another when there's fights or misunderstandings or dislikes amongst devotees. You can't just go around and say, well, you know, I can't manage with this guy or this woman because, you know, our chemistry doesn't work. I mean, this is a very cheap excuse. Yes, of course, some we have immediate sympathy. Yes, and it works immediately. But some not. But that doesn't mean that that's it. No, it is our duty to do everything necessary to move all the impurities that we have in our heart to make it work. Because these persons, all of these persons, whether they live in the temple or they come to the temple as visitors, they are all Krishna's devotees. And we are here in Krishna's griha, so to say. This is his home. He lives, he sleeps, he eats. We wash his clothes, we bathe him, we cook for him, we clean the house. We fix the temple for his guests to come and see him. We are simply his servants here. We are like maids in here cleaning the house, sweeping the floor, washing the dishes, washing the pots, and all these things, and talking about him, explaining to people who Krishna is. So we have absolutely no right to discriminate anyone, whether by religion or race or body or intelligence or likes or dislikes. So all these things, if we are aware of all these things, we have to work on this to actually practice this and put it out. Otherwise, even in the leadership level and the higher levels in Krishna consciousness, it's the same thing. Everybody has to learn to come together, to agree with each other, and actually work on Prabhupada's mission cooperatively. Prabhupada has given us the Siddhanta. He has given us the philosophy. He has given us this movement, this ISKCON movement, to as a recipient for his philosophy to be able to be practiced and then to carry this philosophy to the outside world. So this is our duty. And in order to do this, nobody is going to be attracted to come to this movement if they see that amongst each other the same business is going on as out there. Same business going on. So we have to work on this. And not just withdraw within ourselves in my room and my place and chant my rounds and be at peace and leave me alone and eat and then I'm happy. Oh, this was a nice day. Yes, of course, it's a nice day. But really, this is not why we are here. This is not a hotel. Krishna's hotel. This is Krishna's home. And we are here to actually serve in every capacity, whether cleaning or preaching, going out. Now we have 50 years, it's gone. It's a wonderful time to remember all this. Some of us have been around for 50 years almost. And it's natural after sometimes things, first we're very enthusiastic and after sometimes things are coming down a little bit. It's necessary also to, how to say, verinnerlichen, to absorb this Krishna consciousness within ourselves completely, to absorb it, to make it our own. I remember when I first was a new devotee, I felt like this. I was a karmi, then I wanted to be a devotee, and my life was like this. There was two persons in me, one devotee and one karmi, and we always were trying to. And it took many, 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 many years to all of a sudden everything come in one, that the person that I am actually did absorb Krishna consciousness 100%. So even for those who are new or who have been around for a few years, it takes time because we have been around since time immemorial in this material life. So it takes a long time to absorb this Krishna consciousness, to make it our own. But eventually, after some years, it becomes our own. It becomes natural. So what Prabhupada is trying to tell us here, that even at that time in Mumbai, when they were trying to have the Krishna land, the demons, they were fighting it like anything. But like it says here, even Kamsa wants to kill Krishna, but Krishna cannot be killed. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I happen to have two little grandchildren. One is 3, one is 5. The first thing they tell you, Krishna cannot be killed. Nobody can kill him. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even a little child understands this. And anyone in this material world, whether he is a Muslim, a Christian, a Jewish, whatever he can be, they are convinced, they know this. And actually, even the atheists, they know this, because they can't stop talking about the fact that there is no God. They can't stop talking about God. They can't stop it. So everybody understands that God is eternal, cannot be killed. But still, they are trying to fight it. Hiranyakasipu didn't do anything different. Hiranyakasipu, we, in our little mind, think, oh, he was a demon. So we put a check on it. He is a demon. But this demon was such a learned person. He was so powerful. We have absolutely no idea how powerful he was. And he knew that Krishna is God. And he understood all this. He understood all the scriptures. He understood everything. But in front of Krishna, he said to him, no, I'm not going to surrender to you. That was his only decision. He decided that despite of knowing, having full knowledge of who Krishna was, he decided, I'm not going to surrender to you. Just like a child knows, this is mom and dad, and they are supremely powerful, and they are my authorities, and at the end, they're going to win anyway. Still, I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to do it. So we're doing the same thing. So Hiranyakasipu did the same thing. That's it, free choice. This is what we call free choice. We have the choice to decide. Do I want to surrender a lot? Do I want to surrender a little bit? Do I want to surrender not at all? Free choice. At all times, every second of the day, we can decide. So every second of the day we can think, oh, what am I doing just now? Am I surrendering or I'm just forgetting Krishna or I'm just rebelling? Oh, I'm rebelling. Okay, let's get back on track. And eventually, even though we're not perfect, but Krishna knows our motivations, our heart, and he acknowledges it. And I can tell you that even me sitting here talking to you is the proof that Krishna acknowledges it. Because even for me, in my experience, I'm just a devotee like everybody else, struggling for my life, struggling for my children, my husband, all these things, doing my service, cleaning my house, cooking, going to the temple, chanting, all these duties lifelong. And then at one point you wonder, you know, it says that Krishna sees what you're doing. Yeah, but what's the proof? Just because somebody told me? Prabhupada, he's an Indian man coming from India. Who is he? He's telling me something. Okay, I believe it, but what's the proof? The deities are here, in the Bhagavatam it says this is Krishna himself, his name is himself, but this is only hearsay. You know, I accept it, I want to believe it, but at the beginning we have no proof that this is true, that this is because it's not that Krishna is appearing in front of us and you go, wow, here he is, and we say, wow, I've seen Jesus or something. You know, it's not like that, right? We all work on faith, and we believe someone. So we have developed that kind of intelligence that we understand that our whole life is made out of belief. Our whole life. Our parents, starting with our parents, they made us believe that you have to go to school. They made us believe that A is A, 1 is 1, 1 plus 1 is 2. All these, we accepted it. And then eventually we came to a point and say, well, what's happening out there, if I believe this, this is not the result I want. I want another result. I believe there is something more. So we took to other people who made us believe something else, something which is wonderful. We believe that there is Krishna Loka, the Vaikuntha planets, and all these. So at one point also the devotees, they feel that something needs to happen in my life that I don't just believe, but I become really reassured within my heart that this is actually true. Krishna sees me. He is guiding me. He is taking care of us. He's looking after me under all circumstances. Even he's testing me. Uy, when that happens, then our belief is Krishna is reduced very much. But that all this comes from me, so we have sometimes a hard time believing this. I don't know timing. How long am I supposed to speak? 8:30. Okay, 15 more minutes. So, even I had this question. And eventually Krishna did something. That I thought that if it wasn't true that Krishna sees me and sees my efforts, my heart and my motivation, then it should, you know, there should be some reciprocation. And eventually reciprocation came. It happened. It's amazing. Beyond my wildest imagination. And the only thing I had is that I was, from the very beginning when I came, I understood that Srila Prabhupada is giving us a wonderful thing, the chanting of the holy name, and that he is expecting us to take responsibilities. That's what I understood from the first week. I said, I'm giving you something, and naturally, you're obliged. For everything you do, you're obliged, right? You get a gift, you're obliged to return friendship, gifts. You get food, you return service, you get this and that, you return. It's always a give and take. It's not just a one-way thing. You get something and I'll just take it. No, it's a two-way thing. So eventually, Krishna gave me so much responsibilities that I can hardly sleep at night anymore. But still he's giving me sleep and peace of mind and everything, even though I have all reasons in the world to be completely freaked out all the time. Believe me. But Krishna and sometimes devotees say, hey, you're working too much. You better take care of yourself. Otherwise something's going to happen to you. I say, yeah, well, you know, I eat what I need. I take rest what I need. I chant my rounds. I do my service. And if Krishna needs me, he better gives me good health and the strength I need to do my service. And if he feels that's it, then that's it. Arjuna was the same thing, isn't it? As long as he was needed, he was fighting, he was the greatest warrior you can think of. And at the end, he had to run away from a bunch of bandits because he was empowered. So Krishna does empower us and disempower us at all times. And we have to be ready when he empowers us. And we have to be accepting when he disempowers us. But he never drops us. He never lets us and we are in despair. He puts us in despair so we deepen our relationship to Him. He does that. He does that. And He is not afraid to really put you in deep despair. Actually, even Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, you know, we read this, how he was shaking and his, and you know, it's like for us, like in a movie, you know, oh, the poor Arjuna, he's shaking, he dropped his wound. But if Arjuna shakes, he must be in deep despair. He was in deep despair. He had to go and kill all his, the people he knew that raised him, that he was friends him, that he loved. All these things he had. How can you imagine if we were asked to go out and even shoot our godbrother or godsister or mother or father or whatever? It would be a great... So that was his situation. He was put in deep, deep, deep despair. So this despair that Krishna is putting us is necessary to purify us also and to deepen our relationship to Krishna. And He knows best when the time is the right time, because we do have the maturity, we do have the strength to go through this ordeal in order to come out better on the other end. So we have to trust Him, even though at the same time, the illusion has to be there that we're not going to make it. Because unless you feel so desperate that you're not going to make it, some even think, oh my gosh, I can't live anymore, I have to jump outside the window. Because this, I can't take this anymore. It has to come to that point to feel deep, deep despair. And only then you can actually turn and go back to Krishna in a deeper manner, being thankful for Him sheltering you, giving you a life, and all these things. So we need to experience even the depths of our own feelings. It's very important. We are not Mayavadis, we're not impersonalists who say just withdraw your feelings and don't use them and keep quiet like a turtle and then eventually you go somewhere and everything will be fine. No, it's not working like this. There's also an experience I had in my younger age where I used to do yoga in the past and then I was going to India looking for the absolute truth and all this, and I went to a Buddhist monastery and they made me meditate for 18 hours a day. I was not allowed to work, not allowed to read, not allowed to do anything, just sit like this 18 hours, and once a day they would bring me a plate of food and eat, and that's it. No talking, no nothing. And you know, I tell you, something goes on with your head. Ooh, you go nuts, because your thoughts, they are like, poof. And there's nothing to reciprocate. Normally you don't feel it like this because you reciprocate. But when you don't have anybody to exchange it with, it goes on like in yourself. You go nuts, crazy. Until you understand, I have to calm down. And then your thoughts calm down and everything, and then you have less and less thoughts. It's just like when you read a book, between each word there is a space. There's a next word, a space, next word, a space. So your thoughts, first they go, then they go slower. And then eventually they enter this space and they say, oh, nirvana, wonderful. Ooh. But how long can you stay in this space? Some yogis, they say 10,000 years in this space. Yes, even in the Bhagavatam, we read this, 10,000 years, no problem. But after 10,000 years, the soul in this space is going, oh my gosh, I'm so bored here. Nothing's going on. Nobody to talk to. Where's my love going to? My thoughts and everything. Is that the purpose of my life? And they are looking, they're hankering for relationship. That's it. And then they leave this nirvana again after 10,000 years. And but because they have not known Krishna yet, they go back to the material world and start a hymn, so whole thing again. You start all over again. Until you actually come to Krishna consciousness, this is the only place where you're going to have relationship without material reactions. You have spiritual reactions, no material reactions. Of course, because we are in this material world, we cannot quite differentiate. It still feels like I'm getting sick, I'm getting disturbed, I'm getting all these things. Yes, they're still happening. But we are on the right way. We are moving towards Krishna consciousness, full Krishna consciousness. Now we are maybe 20%, 50%, 60%, 90%, who knows, depending on each one of us. Only Krishna knows where we are. But eventually, we will be fully Krishna conscious. Krishna promises this. And He is going to overlook our faults, our shortcomings. He is overlooking our shortcomings like a parent all day long. Don't do this, don't do that, you stupid kid, you've done this mistake, this mistake. And at the end, oh, I love you so much, you're so sweet, you're so nice and everything. So Krishna is just the same. Despite of all our shortcomings and our mistakes, He's loving us after all. And we have to also recognize Him and feel Him and thank Him for giving us the opportunity to sit here, even though we're tired and our eyes are falling, closing and all these things. This is our fortune. But this fortune is not going to last if we don't share it with our God brothers and sisters in a loving manner every day and be aware that this situation that we have here, maybe it's not there tomorrow again. We don't know. The world, the way it's going on today, there could be Third World War anytime. And a country like this where you can go on the street without being shut down is extraordinary. There's countries you can't go on the street without being shut down. You know, so we have to appreciate this and we have to take responsibility. And our responsibility, especially this year, 50 years, Prabhupada says, and I think the GBC, everybody is encouraging everyone to distribute at least 50 books each. Yes, 50 books each. I'm coming in the temple room, I don't see any books. In the temple where I live, we took books, Bhagavad Gitas, and say we put 5 books, we wrapped them together, and we put a price tag on it, how much it is, the BBT price that is at the moment. And we made a display, and all the books are there, and everybody comes and say, oh, I have, I don't know, here's pounds, 10 pounds in my pocket, let me give 10 pounds with these 5 books and take them. Even if you keep them in your shelf for now because you don't know who to give them to. Believe me, when they are in your shelf, you'll find, oh, my neighbor, my friend, my this, my that, I can give him a book. And then the books, and then you come again and take another 5 books. Or encourage the visitors to come. Here are the books. They are wrapped in 5 packages. Take a pack with you. Only costs so much. Take it to your home. Leave it there. Give it to your children, to your friends. Do it. Very easy. Very easy. So Prabhupada has given us actually a wonderful life. But because we have forgotten what's happening out there, we have even forgotten what kind of life we had before we came. We forgot all these things. It's good we forgot. But still, we're becoming complacent because of that. But this is really a luxury, the kind of life that we're living. And we need to be responsible to give it, to share it with others so they understand that this Hare Krishna movement is the only way that people are going to actually achieve peace, real peace, and even with it, environment will be okay, everything will be okay. But Kali Yuga is advancing on very, very, very big steps. Extremely big step. It's frightening what's happening out there. It's amazing what's happening. Really. So let's not go to sleep and have a nice time. Please, all of us, let's wake up and take responsibility and think about what can I do today, tomorrow, the next day to actually contribute to spreading this movement. Prabhupada knew exactly what he's doing. It's just amazing. This is a perfect, and nobody is going to do better than him. Sometimes devotees say, oh yeah, Prabhupada did it, but now he's an old man. It's a long time ago. Now we are modern. We are more advanced. Prabhupada didn't know. No! He knew the absolute philosophy, this movement. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, I don't know what verse it is, but it says, anyone who thinks that you can be Krishna conscious outside of this movement is hallucinating. You know what the word hallucinating means? Means when you take drugs. And I don't know what drug you have to take, metal crystal or something it's called today. This is hallucinating. You are hallucinating means you are dreaming something that is unreal. So, for those who have the fortune to be in this movement, please take responsibility so that those who are close to understand, they actually can join and take full advantage of this Krishna consciousness movement. Okay? So, a few more minutes maybe for questions, comments, corrections, anything. Let me see if there's anything more I wanted to tell you that I may have forgot. Yeah, the other thing I wanted to tell you also is that it's very important for all of us. This movement actually is a movement of education. If you think that the minute a bhakta comes in, he learns, the first thing he learns, he's being told to offer obeisances when he comes in a temple room. First, take off his shoes. That's the first thing he learns, maybe. Then offer obeisances. Then not to show his back to the deities. Then take a bath every day, eat prasadam. So many things in one day. So the next bhakta who comes in, this one who is there one day, he is already can teach the next one that very thing. And for those who have been around for 30, 40, 50 years, it's endless teaching from youth and from elders, from the scriptures. And so be aware that this movement is a movement of learning and teaching at all times. You always have to be ready to learn. After 40, 50 years being in this movement, you still have to learn. And if you're not learning anymore, then make sure something's wrong. Think about it. And maybe there's no senior to you to learn from, but we can also learn from juniors and youngest. So please be always ready to learn and to teach to others. But teach in such a way that you're giving, not you're just teaching with the finger, but you're giving to them. So take and give. Again, same thing, take and give. And wherever there is dissension, please understand that there is no dissension amongst devotees. There may be right wing or left wing. Everybody is competing to serve Krishna, but they are not enemies. They are not going apart. So some of us come with a character, and the character is actually a dividing character. It happens, but that's the way we come. So when we are aware that we have the tendency of divide things, let's check on this and do all efforts we come to bring things together rather than dividing things. Think about everything you can do to bring things together rather than separating them. These are very simple things, but they are the inner core of this movement. If we're not aware of this, each one of us, at the end, there won't be this movement anymore. I'm giving the example of this hand. Prabhupada sits here, and this is the ISKCON, and now we have so many different gurus, right? So this is one hand. If the gurus understand that they are serving Prabhupada and ISKCON, then all the fingers, there can be 10,000 fingers, but they will all be centered on one center. But if we are not aware of this and separate, have this tendency of separation, then these fingers, they are endlessly going in endless, indefinite directions, never to meet again. So this is a good example also, this hand. We are here together, we are different people, different gurus, different way of thinking, different way of doing things, but all in the service of Krishna, this movement, and Srila Prabhupada's mission. Okay? Hare Krishna. So, question, commentaries?